Good morning, WJVL. It says on my caller ID, this is Joseph Nichols. So I'm assuming this is Joe, right?
Joe's unavailable. Joseph's unavailable. This is just Joe.
Okay.
I'm his alter ego.
Right.
Got it.
Good morning, Joe. How's it going?
It's going all right. How are you guys doing?
Good. It's Kicks with Ken in the morning. You're talking to two hosts that are in Janesville, Wisconsin, which is where you will be looking like May 3rd.
All right. Looking forward to it. Thank you all for having me today.
What is that? Like 3 weeks away? That's all right. May is already
in. No, it's only a couple weeks away.
I think one, two.
Right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like two weeks away.
I was told there would be no math today.
Yeah. Well, you're in good company because if I throw any math problem at Ashley would say, no, I'm no good at numbers at all. So we don't want to go there. Talking about math, we're in the middle of a show called the 90s at 9 to 10. We do 90s music, and it's fitting, but sort of, kind of, because I think of you as more of an early 2000s artist, but you got things going like, what, 1996? You're 20 years old, releasing hits at 20 years old.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you can call them hits. I did start releasing music pretty early on. Gosh, I can't believe it's been that long ago. Yeah, I made my first studio album, I think, in the winter of 95, 96, Young Green Kid. I think that album actually was my first experience in the studio. I'd never sang a demo or anything in my life. And so I went in and cut that album in like 2 days. And it was fun. Man, back in those days, you could kind of do that. It was, you know, fairly, you know, you're either good or you're not. And you either make a good record or you don't. And nowadays, you can kind of work with it a long time and use technology to your benefit. And we kind of had to sink or swim, you know, in that day. And obviously, it took me a while to really make a good record because my first major label release came in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
So during that time, I just had to get better in the studio. But yeah, interesting time. It's a lot has changed over the past couple decades.
Yeah, do you prefer this time now where there's the Instagram, the TikTok, all that kind of stuff?
Well, the downloads and all that. What do you think about that stuff?
No, I don't prefer it today versus then. I think for several reasons. That's not just a blanket statement. I think, first of all, technology makes us a little worse. As artists, I think we rely on computers to tell us whether we're good or not.
Sure.
And it can kind of deceive us a little bit. I think we can manipulate pocket and pitch and, you know, create a style even from using a program on a computer.
Right.
I just think that's a little dishonest myself. And if you're not good and you rely on a keyboard to make you good, then how good are you? Maybe you're an artist from making something good out of something bad. I don't know. But anyway, in those days, you kind of, you know, you had a little bit of crutch here and there with some things, but you had to be good. Mm-hmm. You had to be a good singer, and you had to be a good artist, and you had to think creatively. You had to be super disciplined in a lot of ways. So I think it's a different era, clearly. But I think today you have an instant gratification factor that we didn't have back then. And I think there's a lot of value in, you know, what we used to call paying your dues, but really spending a lot of time. I think the Beatles called it woodshedding. Mm-hmm. You know, you spend time getting to know who you are as an artist, not just what works with people. Kind of, you know, you can today, I think we've stripped away that woodshedding years of figuring out who you are, what you're good at, and then being an authentic artist. Whereas today, I think with Instagram, with TikTok, with social media, you can just put out a bunch of stuff and see what sticks, and that will tell you how good you are.
That's true.
To me, that's kind of more of a commercial, you know, think tank or a commercial target group that tells you what works and what doesn't, rather than you discovering it within you and then putting it out for the world to see. So and it's kind of a backwards thing to me.
And we saw that, I don't know if you got to CRS or Country Radio Seminar this year. We saw a lot of that where some of these young artists, they release something on social platform and it gets to a lot of hits. It gets a lot of downloads. And suddenly here's a guy, young guy that has never played with a band before in his life. He just had a single. He could strum a few chords and he wrote a song that's kind of catchy. And then suddenly he's got a record deal. So a lot different than what it used to be. Right. All right.
Well, I'll tell you that, you know, it's a sad deal, but I wish there were a better formula for people making it, you know, in the business. But, you know, the people that win in that scenario, I got to point out, the people that win are the people that make the real money from putting out a product without a face or with a face, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But the people that lose are the people that don't really have that time to get to know themselves, and that's the artists, in my opinion.
Okay. All right. That was a great conversation
that
right there.
That was. And Joe, I mean, we...
a little heavy this morning.
Yeah. We will lighten it up because we've been listening to you and your newest song for a few months now with Annie Bosco. Tell us, I've never heard of her beforehand. She's got a beautiful voice. Obviously, in country radio, everybody knows your name. But how did you get hooked up with her?
She was signed to the sister label of the label that I'm on, Benny Brown, who I love dearly. Thankful to the Lord every day for that man. He started the label I'm on, Quartz Hill. He actually founded Broken Bow Records, too, with Jason Aldean and several big artists.
Oh, yeah.
Jelly Roll and all those. Uh-huh. So he was the founder of that and signed me there. And then when he started this new one, he signed me here at Quartz Hill and Stone Country. And Annie was signed to Stone Country, and Benny said, you know, check out my new artist. You know, she's a really talented singer, and she's got that kind of old soul. I really appreciate the old school stuff, like, you know, the Willie Nelson and Merle Haggard, George Jones. That's kind of my taste. And we did a show together in El Paso, and she started singing, you know, Kris Kristofferson songs. And I'm like, this is awesome. She looks like a supermodel, sings great. And, you know, she's singing old school stuff. And so I liked what she was about, and we found the song that was made for a duet. So it kind of simultaneous things. He's like, check out this artist. She's great for a duet in the future. Then we found a song as we were in the middle of our last, you know, six or eight tracking things. We cut the single, the song, and then we kind of said, well, let's give this a shot. See what she sounds like. We'll sing my part and then, you know, see if she can lay right in there and blend. And she did a good job, man. She's a hard worker. Went in there and wasn't happy until it was right. I think she did awesome.
Yeah, it does sound awesome. I didn't know if it was like one of those things, yeah, like you know the person beforehand, or if it is like, hey, go look at this person. Like, I just heard Brooks and Dunn saying they met on a Thursday and they wrote a song on a Friday, and it's just crazy how some of those things work.
I love it. Hey, sometimes there's brilliant people, you know, in Nashville that have great ideas. You know, I know the guy that put Brooks and Dunn together. Actually, this time at Universal South, Tim Dubois helped that relationship happen. And that's a really talented guy himself that saw opportunity in this guy and this guy and said, this would be a great duo. So sometimes there's some brilliant ideas from behind those desks in Nashville.
For sure. So what I should ask you, I mean, you're coming this way. Are you on tour right now, or is this just a one-time thing, or are you going all summer long?
I am going all summer long, as Kid Rock would say.
Okay.
I never thought I'd quote a Kid Rock song this morning. but yeah.
Okay.
I'm kind of got started in January,
okay.
Rolled through March relatively light, and then May really is when we really start kicking into gear.
Nice. All right. Well, we look forward to seeing you at the JPAC. I'm trying to think of some things we could tell Joe Nichols to do if he wanted to get, you know, like a new Glarus beer or something, or go to get a burger at the Draft House down the...
Well, certainly cheese curds, I'm sure.
Cheese curds,
but
yeah.
Joe's been around.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's been to Wisconsin probably a few hundred times.
Sure.
And gotten the cheese curds.
Oh, yeah. Or
get yourself... Oh, yeah. Do you like brandy at all? Brandy Old Fashioned Sweet.
I'm not much of a drinker anymore, guys. I got to be honest. I just prefer kind of more of a burger.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, well, with cheese on. All right, we can work that out for you.
That's right down the street.
If you get in early, I know what's going on with my schedule, but if you play golf?
I do. I like to play golf when I get the chance. I'm not really great at it or anything like that, but it does relax the mind. So, yeah.
All right. Well, maybe we can see what we can work out. I've got to check things out, but that'd be a lot of fun. Once again, Joe Nichols performing, going to be at JPAC. Tickets are on sale right now. That's May 3rd, 8 o'clock, JPAC right here in Janesville. And Joe, listening to you to talk, you remind me of Eric Church. You've got a similar voice as Eric, your speaking voice, it just as you're talking about stuff, especially as we get deep into the music business.
When's the last time you talked to Eric Church, Red Hot?
I didn't talk to him, but I heard him talk at the country radio seminar as he was talking to Jelly. And Eric, you know, I got to tell you.
Are you friends?
Well, when he started his career, I was,
you have some story.
With a record label person, and he was unknown at the time. He was sitting right next to me playing acoustic stuff in, like, I don't know, 2001 or whatever that was at the time. So,
well, it was good to talk with you, Joe. We'll be seeing you, and now I guess it's not 3 weeks away; it's 2 weeks away. May 3rd is gonna be here before you know it. So we'll see you at the JPAC.
I appreciate you guys. Great talking to you again. I'll take the Eric Church as a compliment. I love that guy's insight. And I appreciate talking to you guys this morning. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Joe Nichols.